Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 entitled The Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. These radio programs are there, our TV programs are there, and a host of other Bible-related material to help you understand your need to have God in your life and how the Bible is the aid in order to give you the instruction to do that. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the times of our worship and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come and study God's Word with us, worship Him, that we might show you the need to have God in your life and a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been looking for the last few months at patterns. Does the Bible have a pattern for what we do and how we do it in our service to God? Last month, we demonstrated patterns in the Old Testament that were given and the things that transpired when those patterns were rejected. This month we are looking at patterns of worship. And thus far we have talked about the Lord's Supper and about giving. And today we're going to talk about music and worship. To do this, we're going to talk about singing. And what we're going to do is we're going to read some scripture together. I want you to listen as I read from the Bible the passages in the New Covenant that deal with music and worship. In Matthew 26, verse number 30, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Next, we want to look at Acts 16, verse 25, when Paul and Silas were in prison because they were preaching Christ. Acts 16, verse number 25. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Next, we look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 12. "Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, and in the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." We also read in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and in verse 15, Hebrews 13, 15, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And then in James chapter 5, verse number 13, James chapter 5 and verse number 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing hymns." Next, we want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 15. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 15. "What is this conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." And then, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And lastly, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we've read are the 9 New Testament patterns and examples of what early Christians did in the early church in music and worship to God. It is clearly demonstrated in all the passages that we read that some form of the word sing is used. Song, singing, song. We read that what they did in the first century is that they sung. Now, what did they sing? According to the scripture, the pattern of their singing was psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Many of the psalms that are in our Bibles have been rendered and given music to them, and they are songs that we sing. I'll give you an example. One, the Lord is my shepherd. That's from the 23rd Psalm. In the Old Testament, much of the singing that was done in the Old Testament were the singing of the psalms. Hymns, those are spiritual songs. The hymns are something that has a spiritual nature that is about worship. And spiritual songs, hymns are about worship. Spiritual songs are things that have spiritual meaning. We also read in 1 Corinthians 14:15 that we are to sing with the spirit and with the understanding. What does that mean? That means that we must have our proper attitude. Our mind and our hearts must be focused into what we're singing. We must understand what we're singing. It is just as wrong to teach that which is unscriptural as it is to sing which was unscriptural. I'll give you an example. I do not sing about the millennial period on earth. I don't sing songs about the thousand-year reign on earth because that's error, because that's not taught in the scripture. And so I don't sing about that because that's something that the Bible does not teach. And so that is something that's not a spiritual song because it doesn't have a spiritual message. And so we must sing with the spirit and with the understanding. I must understand what I'm singing. You know, a lot of people sing songs that they have no concept to what it means because of what they're obligating themselves to. Let me give you an example. There's a song that we sing here called "I Want to Be a Worker for the Lord." Well, you're commending yourself and you're submitting yourself that you want to work for the Lord, that you want to do the Lord's work. But do you sing that song hypocritically? Because every time you're given an opportunity to do something in the Lord's work, you're too busy. Or your life's too busy and you can't give enough time in order to do spiritual things that will have some benefit to the Lord's church and some spiritual benefit to you personally. And so do we sing songs like that hypocritically? And so we need to sing with the understanding. We need to know what we're saying. We teach and admonish one another in our singing. When we sing, we teach and admonish one another. We demonstrate what kind of relationship we have in God. And when we sing, we're teaching and admonishing each other. And so everybody sings. It's not something that just a few do. You don't read about choirs in the Bible. You don't read about solos. You don't read about bands. You don't read about rock music. You don't read about having instrumental music. It's not in the text. It's not in there. Now, there were instruments under the old law. We could go back to passages in Chronicles where there were commandments by God that things would be brought into the temple, instruments of musical instruments would be brought into the temple. Yes, that is true in the Old Testament, but we don't live under the Old Testament. We live under the New Testament. And in the New Testament, God has asked that we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we sing with understanding, and we know what we're saying and why we're saying it. And we make melody in our heart, in our mind. That's the instrument. We use our heart. That's the instrument that we play on. Not a harp, not a piano, not a guitar, not a drum. We play on the musical instrument of our heart. And so in all of these passages, it demonstrates that what God desires in worship is singing, vocal singing. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only two types of music. One is vocal and one is instrumental. Our God understood the difference. Under the old law, there was instrumental music. And so there was instrumental music, and if he wanted it under the new law, he well understood how he could have presented it and how he could have gave us a pattern and we could have followed it. But the pattern in the New Testament is different than the old. In the new, it is singing. We also see, when we talk about singing, that it's done congregationally. It's done by every person participating. God doesn't care if you sound like you're an opera singer or that you're a great singer. We don't sing just so we sound good. We sing with our hearts. We sing with love and appreciation and respect and love for God. That's what God judges. He judges our heart. He doesn't judge whether we hit every note. He doesn't judge if we're a tenor or a bass or an alto. He judges us by singing with spirit and understanding and doing it from the heart, doing it in a way that we understand what we're singing, that we teach and admonish one another, and we sing the truth as much as we preach the truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we practice music in worship. You know, I have people ask me all the time, why don't you people in the Church of Christ, why don't you have music in worship? We do have music in worship. We have vocal music. We sing because that is the pattern. That is the design. That is the instruction that's given in the New Testament. That's why we sing. We don't use the instrument because we're too cheap, or because we don't like it, or because we have chosen not to do it. That's not why we don't do it. We don't do it because it's not authorized. It's not authorized by God. Now, many of the churches of our city here, they all use the instrument. And some use bands. Some have rock music. Some have gospel rock. There are many different forms of music that are given. Some have groups come in and they entertain and they charge a fee for you to come and listen to them sing or to perform. Again, where is the Bible pattern for that? Where is the instruction in God's word in the pattern that that's the kind of music that he wanted to have? He just said to simply sing. And he told us what kind of things to sing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He told us how to sing with spirit and understanding. He told us to sing in a way that we make melody in our hearts, not on an instrument, but on an instrument of our heart. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the most controversial issues of worship, is how we worship God in song. But if one is honest, if one will just open their Bible, open their mind, and look in the New Testament, there are 9 scriptures, and we read them in the beginning of this lesson to demonstrate that the music in the New Testament under the law of Christ is vocal. There's not one passage in all of the New Testament that authorizes, that gives an example, or implicates that we use the instrument in worship to God in our worship services. So if I'm going to worship God in spirit and in truth, the music that I will use in my worship in the New Testament will be singing, because that's what God has authorized. That's what God has given in his word as the means of how he wants to be worshiped as far as music. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to ask, do we have the right, do we have the authority to change the music in worship to suit us, to suit the young people, to suit the people who are demanding that we have musical instruments or bands or choirs or praise teams or solos in order that we might be entertained? Can we do that? Can we do that with a thus saith the Lord? Can we do that with a Bible pattern exemplifying that in the scripture? No, we can't, because it's not in there. If one wants to please God and worship God in spirit and truth, if he wants to practice music in his worship service, it must be vocal, and it must be done with spiritual songs and hymns. It must be done with understanding and willingness to understand what we're reading, and the only thing we make melody on is our heart. That is the instrument of God's choice in the New Testament. And so I leave you with this question. The music that you have where you worship, is it the music that God asked for in his word, or is it something that has been devised by men and not by God? Think about it. Have a nice day.